what is your name, sir?
Bruce Scott.
Okay, Mr. Scott, okay. Okay, the Honorable Mr. Mayor will be conducting your hearing at this time, sir.
Okay.
Okay, sir. First of all, please state your full name and agency number for the record.
My name is Bruce Lee Scott, 151963.
Sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this afternoon in reference to your community supervision revocation. Well, I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct the hearing at this time. We have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. We have the Honorable Dale Rittenhouse, the Honorable Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ray Canones. My name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing officer today.
Okay, thank you guys for coming. Thank you, Arizona Executive Board of Executive Clemency.
And also in the room, we have Mr. Turner from the Department of Corrections, and I also represent the parole office today.
Okay.
Okay, now, before we go further, actually, the next section will be, you did receive a notification form advising you to go here and correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
And one of the things on that form was about you have the right to hire an attorney.
Yes, sir.
At your own expense. Now, I see from a supplemental that we received that one of the many names you have listed is your attorney.
Yes, sir.
Would you like us to call him and have him on the line during this hearing?
Sir, I was just using him. I'm going to be using him as a witness to ask him questions. That's all. I'm not to partake into anything else in this committee.
Sir, I read through this supplemental, and the majority of the stuff in the supplemental, I mean, it's nice to see your programming certificates. That's very commendable. But as far as sentencing regulations and transcripts of proceedings, as far as how it turned out on the charges you were arrested for, I don't believe much of that's necessary because the allegation on the warrant doesn't deal with anything but a particular type of behavior, okay?
Okay, yes, sir.
And we also do not have the technological capability of getting that many people on the phone at once. So, now, I'm not going to deny you any witnesses or anything, but I don't think the majority of what you have here, anything to having to do with debriefing is absolutely out of the jurisdiction of the board, and other than asking inmates if they debriefed or not, that's about all the board can or will be. So.
Yeah, I just put that in there just to let you guys know that was, those were just supplements I was going to use for my basically closing. And the minute entries, I was just showing you, I wanted to go over those in my argument for, or basically for my right being able to defend myself with this charge.
Okay, well, you know, we are not charging you as a criminal court.
No,
we're not acting as a criminal court. We're not here to retry the charges that have been adjudicated or to dispute the final outcome of that. You know, I do understand that you were charged with several different things. And during the course of your court proceedings, it was agreed upon that you were going to have a disorderly conduct domestic violence conviction. And
yes,
you're going to have some probation after you're released from there, one way or the other. You're going to have some probation to do with that. So that's all adjudicated.
I'm on probation right now. My probation started October 4th.
Okay, well, I don't know the details of the ins and outs of,
mm-hmm.
of being on probation while you're actually incarcerated. I don't know anything about those rules, so. It's just you have a probation that was attached to the conviction.
Absolutely.
And it was a misdemeanor conviction for disorderly conduct, domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And you pled guilty to that. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So, now, we're dealing with a different part of the issue and we're dealing with terms and conditions of your probation, nothing to do with what kind of charges end up in Superior Court, what kind of charges the only thing that really affects our hearings is if you're convicted of have another felony conviction, which would extend your release date beyond the release date that we have listed at the time when the warrant was issued. So, and your terms on that charge are not going to affect that.
Okay.
It's just a probation, and whether you can serve any of that probation while you're incarcerated or not, I do not know. I'm just trying to streamline this for everybody's sake. So
okay.
There's there's a lot of things. So I guess what I'll do is I'm going to move into the phase one and the allegation, and then once we've gotten to that point, I will ask you if you need your attorney to be a witness that would testify or somebody else in there, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not, and understand, I am not trying to deprive you of due process. I just would like to streamline this, and there's a lot of this that isn't necessary for this type of hearing.
Okay.
Or at least, I don't think it is. So anyway, I'm going to go, I'm going to swear you and Mr. Turner in at this time, because they definitely have the two of you involved. So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm, sir?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Okay, we're going to have two phases to your hearing. Okay? Phase one, I will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated.
Okay.
Okay, so phase two, where the majority of the discussion about the allegations would happen, and that's normally when witnesses would be due. So as we start that, we'll discuss witnesses again, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, so phase one, allegation number one, is a violation of Arizona condition of supervision number five, as demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaulting behavior on or about June 13, 2018, in Tucson and Pima County, Arizona. Is that true or false, sir?
That is false.
Okay. Because you stated that it is false, Mr. Turner will go over the entire allegation, and then we will discuss it a little bit at that time.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Turner?
Yes, sir. According to a synopsis from the Tucson Police Officer Holcomb, number 100-966, on 6/13/2018, Tucson Police Department officers were called to the offender's residence in reference to an open 911 call. A female was screaming for help and screaming, "Get off me." Police officers arrived to the residence and were stopped by a woman across the street. The woman was bloody and bruised and screaming for help. The female identified herself as Amber Brown and stated her husband of 6 months, the offender, had beaten her. She stated she was inside the home. When the offender came home, he hit the trash can with his truck before he entered the home. He came in and started yelling, "You, excuse my language, you don't fucking love me." The victim fled the home with no shoes, holding her cell phone and car keys. She ran across the street for help. She called one of the offender's friends and then dialed 911. The offender chased after her and the victim tripped and fell. She stated that she curled up in a ball to try and protect herself while she was on the ground. The offender hit her with a closed fist and kicked her with his foot a number of times. The offender then left the area. He returned a short time later with some riders and then left again. The victim's cell phone was missing. It was later found in front of the offender's residence. Police officer observed bruising under one of Amber's eyes, a cut and a bump on her forehead, and cut and bruises to her elbow and forearms. Amber also had bruising on her ribs and shoulders and two chipped teeth. The offender was detained by two other officers in the alley behind the residence. He was sweating profusely and out of breath. When the officers searched the offender, two glass pipes with residue were found in the offender's front right and back pocket. The offender was arrested and placed into a patrol car. He repeatedly hit his head against the plastic divider in the patrol car. The offender complained of multiple medical issues and was transported to the hospital by paramedics. He was often uncooperative and combative with officers. He made threatening statements to police, the paramedics, and hospital staff. He had several mood swings, being argumentative, combative, and uncooperative, and then calm, compliant, and apologetic. He had repeated outbursts of yelling and screaming. The offender had to be sedated before hospital staff could treat him. The offender was transported to Pima County Jail upon release from the hospital and was charged with aggravated assault, domestic violence, kidnapping, domestic violence, and robbery, all felonies.
Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Scott, what is false about that?
The factual basis of the case were exactly what is said in my supplement 5,
sir.
That you guys have.
Wait. We're in phase 1 of this. Any lengthy discussions will be in phase 2. So we just need to get down to the basis. The allegation is that you were involved.
It was an argument. I did not assault her.
Sir?
It was an argument, sir.
Sir? The allegation is that you were involved in, it says, physically assaulted behavior. Okay? So what is false about the allegation the way it was stated?
There was no physical assault. There was an argument. That is it.
Okay. All right. I'm going to move us into phase 2 so we can discuss it further. So,
okay.
Based on the information, we're 2018W1799. And information that Mr. Turner gave us of allegation number 1, I am going to move to find that Mr. Scott was linked as he violated current conditions of supervision and that he may have lapsed or not lapsed in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Great. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Canonis, agreed by Mr. Rittenhouse, Mr. Dawson, Dr. Wright. Okay, so we're going to move into phase 2 in a moment, but before we actually get started, we're going to Mr. Turner's going to give us some background information. So
with what just happened right now, does that mean that...
The board found that you are delinquent and that you violated the terms and conditions of your release, which means, according to the information we've gotten from the allegation and from the police department and Department of Corrections, the board had, based on that, the board voted to find that you were delinquent. Now, that moves you into phase 2, where we will determine whether we're going to let you back out on community supervision, or whether we're going to not let you out.
Okay, sir.
Okay. So, with that, Mr. Turner is going to give us background information, so just stay on the phone, and I'll be right back with you, okay?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Scott was released from ABC custody on 11/21/2016 and arrested on 6/14/2018 by Tucson PD on new felony charges of aggravated assault, domestic violence, kidnapping, domestic violence, and robbery. He's returned back to ABC custody on 12/3/2018 with a CSED of 6/22/2019, 0 abscondings. Current conviction, 1999, promoting prison contraband, 5 years. Prior convictions, 1998, murder second degree, 18 years. This is his first term in ADC with a CUIR score of 5.3, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 1. He is a validated member of the Aryan Brotherhood of Arizona, has no prior terms on supervision. Disciplinary is significant with drugs, violence, promoting contraband, and conspiracy noted. Other arrests, there were other arrests, however, the charges were dismissed. Has a GB score of G5V6. Status of charges, he pled guilty on 8/7/18, but that's the only information I have.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. And the guilty was disorderly conduct, domestic violence, is what they took all that down to. Okay, so, Mr. Scott.
Yes, sir.
The next step is we're going to go over a summary of the case supervision. So for residents, so you got approved to reside with your girlfriend at 7407 East 29th Street in Tucson.
Yes, sir.
With Brian Andrew?
No, that was Jerry Lewis.
Okay, so you met Andrew after you got out?
Yes, sir.
All right, so then April 13th of 2018, you were approved to reside at 5753 East 18th Street in Tucson.
That was Amber.
Okay, and no other residence was approved, and you were staying there until you got violated and arrested?
Yes, sir.
Were arrested and violated in that order. Okay, so for employment, says you're in working for Land Tapers.
Land Tapers.
Chambers.
Yes.
Land Tapers Company. Is that where you worked the whole time you were out, or did you?
No, sir. I just started my own business, but after that, I worked at Arizona Medical Waste. After Arizona Medical Waste, I worked at Wheel Fix It for about close to a year and a half, and right before my motorcycle accident on May 7th, I had just started my own Ring Kings, my own business that I own, sir.
Okay, what kind of business?
Ring Kings. I go to all the dealerships in Tucson, and I do the rims on their cars. Like if they have any curb rash or anything like that, I go grind it, sand it, and then either paint it, powder coat it.
I see. You repair the rims.
Oh. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Everything is so specialized these days.
Yes.
So for programming, you refer to task.
Yes.
And you were later assigned to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And you were directed to submit 16 air examples.
Yes.
15 were negative, and
one was
diluted.
Yes.
Okay. And let's see, I don't have all the dates of all the tests, but it shows, what I can see here, your diluted sample was on the 22nd of August, but then on the 23rd of August, you had negative samples. So,
yes, sir.
So that was a good follow-up.
The only reason it was diluted, I do the rims right on the blacktop. And it was the middle of the summer, and I drink a lot of water because it's about 100. If it's 105 out, you're about 120, 125 out on that blacktop.
I know exactly what you mean. All right, for sanctions, it's showing that on July 20th of 2017, that you were reported getting stopped by police for driving erratically, and you were charged with DUI.
Yes, sir.
And that's when you were placed on the colored peach, so that you have, I guess, so you have more,
yes,
more required drops. You completed an intensive outpatient program at Assurance on January 30th of 2019.
Yes, sir.
So, with the alcohol and all that, do you have a drinking problem, or did you have a drinking problem?
It was the day after my birthday, and all my family got together, came and saw me. And like an idiot, my uncle said, well, me like an idiot, excuse my language, my uncle's like, let's have a shot. And I was like, okay. And I got in my truck and I drove off about 30 minutes after that, and I felt fine. And I got pulled over. And I tell you the truth, no, I did not have an alcohol problem. I did not, sir. I mean, did I drink that day? Absolutely. I did. I had two shots to be exact. And should I have drank? No, I shouldn't have. But I got caught up in the moment being around all my family, and I let a little bit of stupidity take over. And tell you the truth, what's that, sir?
What happened with the DUI charge?
It's, I'm still in the process of fighting it.
Okay, did you have a blood line?
No, I blood test, and my test was 064. I believe it's 064. I could be mistaken, but that's what I believe it is.
Okay. Well, like the .08 and those numbers are, if you are at that number above, it's pretty much guilty without any other evidence being necessary.
Absolutely.
If they've heard of that, if there's any alcohol showing, an officer, if he can show impairment.
That's exactly, absolutely.
And, you know, if you fly airplanes, 0.03 is legally drunk. If you drive semis, it's 0.05. And statistically, everybody that drinks is somewhat.
I should not have been driving.
You're fighting it. I used to enforce it. So
yeah.
And you know, but the 05, everybody is somewhat impaired in an 05. A lot of people are impaired in an 03. So anyway, but you're still fighting that. Okay, thank you, sir. All right, let's talk a little bit about that allegation here, okay? So the allegation is, it's not about, you know, I understand by reading that, like your wife said, that there was no kidnapping because, you know, what circumstances are, and I know under domestic violence, the kidnapping rules are a little bit different than kidnapping, like for ransom or something like that. But and also like the phone, you know, that's where the robbery came in, and there was an explanation for that. And apparently, the prosecutors and the judge agreed that, you know, the charges you pled to were
actually those ones.
Okay, so
I was never charged on those, indicted.
When you were arrested, you were charged with them, and it was submitted that way.
Yeah,
and that's where a lot of that in that, you know, in the court documents, it's eliminating the basis for those charges. So we, you know, that's not an issue here. The issue is the warrant says that you engaged in physically assaulty behavior. You say that you didn't assault her, but did she leave the house and you running and you followed her?
Actually, when I came home and I hit that trash can, because I don't know if you guys are familiar with Tucson, you get a lot of carports, and I was making sure I wasn't running into our carport. I just got home from work, and the garbage can I did hit the garbage can, and she came out of the house, and we had a horrible argument, and the only reason we had a horrible argument is because my grandfather had taught me, a happy wife is a happy life, and normally I was yes dear, no dear. I just got out of the hospital. I was in a coma. I flatlined twice. I was in a coma for 2.5 weeks. I had severe TBI, traumatic brain injury. I left the hospital too early, and to tell you the truth, my brain was it. We got into a bad argument.
Bad argument. If you didn't participate in really assaulting behavior, how did she get the bruising and the marks? And if I understand she fell on the asphalt, and that would definitely...
To tell you the truth, I don't remember anything from being out there. I don't remember anything. All I can remember is what my lawyer told me happened and didn't happen because of my brain. So I would like to clarify that right now.
If you can't explain it, but see, the thing is, we have to rely on the police report.
Absolutely.
It's not even a hearsay where the police officer told your PO over the phone was going on. It's from the report.
Mm-hmm.
And the police that went out there had probable cause that they would have arrested you. And I think that if they wouldn't have had probable cause, somewhere down the line, your lawyer would have got you released, and you wouldn't even have the disorderly conduct.
Conduct was because it was an argument, and that's what my lawyer told me exactly what happened, and my wife had
said what happened. Something, sir.
Okay.
Because
I just don't want you thinking I'm lying. I don't want you thinking that.
No,
I'm not.
You just explained why I have no reason to believe you're lying. You said you don't remember any of it, and you're basing it on what your lawyer told you. So you're not using any. You don't have any firsthand knowledge of that an argument started, and then from there you really don't know what happened. Okay, the police officers came out. They saw injuries which were delineated in the report on your wife, and she said she fell on the asphalt, which would explain the bruising and cuts and stuff on her elbows, her hands, and that part of it. But it doesn't explain the bruising on other parts of her body that wouldn't have hit the ground in that. The police officers do that for a living and they're trained in it, so they usually can look at an injury and have a clue as to how it happened. You know, they're not going to see gravel scratches and think they were caused because you hit her with your fist there. Okay, so we have to rely on that, and based on the fact that it went all the way through everything else, and there were, you know, the conviction is for disorderly conduct. Okay, I've seen many fights come to a disorderly conduct. There were physical blows that both sides admitted to, and it was disorderly conduct rather than, an assault.
What I was told was that happened is exactly, my lawyer told me exactly, basically, supplement 5 in there, it says the court asked for the factual basis, please, counsel. Mr. Andrade, who was my attorney, this is what he said. Yes, Your Honor, on the date and time of the complaint, specifically June 13th of this year, 2018, my client, who has a relationship with Amber Brown, that qualifies under Section 133601 for the domestic violence allegation within the city of Tucson County of Pima County, got into an argument, a serious discussion that disturbed the peace and quiet of Mrs. Amber Brown, Your Honor. That's all. And the judge asked me, do you agree with that statement? Yes, sir. The court, is the state satisfied with the factual basis? Mrs. Otto, the prosecutor?
Sir.
Yes, Your Honor, she said.
You're talking about legal procedures.
Okay.
They're done every day.
That, I'm just telling you, that's what I was told.
The agreement is made before you ever get in court. They're going to get a factual basis, which is just enough to support whatever the charge has been brought down to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did. And the state is fine with that because the state agreed to that plea agreement. That does not eliminate anything that is the accusation. It doesn't eliminate the fact that your wife was injured. Doesn't eliminate the fact that the police had the probable cause to believe you caused some of the injuries.
No, I'm just telling you what
it's just,
I know.
We have been there all the time saying, well, that was dismissed. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. It doesn't mean
absolutely.
You were not charged. And
no, absolutely.
It doesn't mean that there wasn't an aggravated assault. It doesn't mean that there wasn't a robbery. It doesn't mean that there wasn't a kidnapping. It means that the state agrees with your attorney to reduce everything down to that. And when they go to court, and the judge even sits there knowing that that's an agreement between the state and the defense, and that it may or may not have everything that happened at the time, but it's enough for the charges that are being pled to. So,
absolutely.
So, and that's one of the reasons I say we don't even need all that other stuff. But your basis on the is going on what your lawyer told you and what you heard in court, not your own knowledge of what happened.
If can I please stop you real quick, and I don't want to be rude or anything. Supplement 4, if you please just open up to supplement 4, just so you know and you can see, I had traumatic brain injury. I was supposed to be placed into a inpatient facility. No, I just don't remember. I don't remember any of it.
Exactly. I didn't ask you why you don't remember.
Okay.
I didn't ask you how you don't remember. I asked you, do you remember? I didn't even say who you're going to remember, but it's not based on your memories, it's based on what you were told, correct, sir?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. No questions. Okay, sir. I guess I will ask you real quick, at this point in time, we're nearing the end of your hearing and what we want to do at this time before we make any decisions and give you an opportunity to make a final statement about what's going on. And I just want to make sure at this point in time, whether or not you actually want to attorney involved with this or not.
No, sir.
Okay.
I'm good.
Thanks. Well, I just wanted to offer you that opportunity.
Absolutely.
That's
basic. Okay.
That's one of the reasons we have an attorney. So speak on your behalf when you need it. So we're going to be ending the hearing. The board will be going into discussion shortly to make a determination in this case. Before we do that, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. We just ask that you don't dwell on information that we've already covered. If there's something new that you'd like to add, now would be the time to do it, but it would be your final statement.
Okay. As far as anything, I successfully completed 20 months on parole. I had no violations other than this one, no dirty UAs. I had 2 months max, 18 months minimum. Time Magazine, June 2016, said the recidivism rate is 82% for ex-cons within 6 months of being released. I tripled that. Prison is no longer my life. I want nothing to do with this anymore. I was out on parole, successfully completed the 20 months, like I said, which I think is pretty good. I need to get into a neurocognitive rehab for my TBI, which DOC cannot provide for me. I was honestly doing great and becoming an established member of the society. Parole is there to rehabilitate an ex-convict back into society. Completing 20 months of parole and being a business owner shows I was becoming rehabilitated. I was in a serious motorcycle accident and had severe traumatic brain injury and brain swelling, which affected my impulse control. My brain is doing a lot better. It does not swell anymore. It does not create pain or give me pain anymore, but I still need to be into a neurocognitive rehab. I need the steroids for my brain, and I need to be the neurocognitive rehab. If the board reinstates me, which I pray that it does, I will get into a neurocognitive rehab, and after I'm done, I will restart my business after that. You committee will never hear from me again. You will never see me again. Please remember that I successfully completed 20 months out in parole out there. I own my own business, and I need the medical help that I need. It's right there in supplement for I need to get into a neurocognitive rehab. I completed 15 courses over the 7 months that I have been reincarcerated. I've already started my renouncing from the Aryan Brotherhood. I have not received any disciplinary in county jail or in prison since I have been back. I'm not asking that you let me out and just, oh yeah, we're going to reinstate you. I am not asking for that. I've been reincarcerated for 216 days, which is right over 7 months. I do ask that you place me back on max parole and have me do some classes or put me into the Pima County reentry program here to where I have to work to get back out. I am done with this life. I'm not coming back. I was not really messing up like that. Yeah, I had two hiccups. And this one is from the way it reads, absolutely more than a hiccup. I get that. But I'm done with this life. I truly am. And if you would be willing to reinstate me or, like I said, put me into the Pima County reentry program, which takes 90 days, I promise I will not let you guys down. I won't. I won't at all. And I just want that opportunity. I just got married. I had an accident, and there's a doctor on this board. You know what a traumatic brain injury will do, especially with the frontal lobe. It deals with impulse control. And my brain was swollen. I left too early from the hospital, and the only reason I left is because I was in there for damn near a month, and I was losing my business because two of the employees I had working, one of them was not doing what he was supposed to be doing. He lost me 10 of my accounts. I mean, that's really what I have to say, board, and I just, please, find it in your heart to give me the benefit of the doubt. I know I messed up. This is my first time I did 20 months. I got out after 18 years. I'm not a criminal no more. I'm not trying to be a part of that. I just want to go home, be with my wife. I want to be with my family, and I want to restart my business. I own my own business. It's not do I have a job or not. I own a business. That's all I'm asking for, please. And I get, if put me back on become ex-parole, give me sanctions, you make me take classes, I understand that. Or put me into the Pima County Reentry Program where I'm at Sacharach and I have to work my way back out. That's all I'm asking, is the chance to prove to you that what you're seeing me for is not the man I am, because it's not. It truly is not. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The board will be going into discussion. We'll be talking amongst ourselves on determination. You may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. But stay on the phone, and you can remain silent, but you can hear the entire conversation, and once we're done, I'll get back with you. Okay, sir?
Thank you very much, sir.
The board is now in discussion. That was definitely an unfortunate case with Mr. Scott. Successful for 20 months out there, and it's very commendable. But this kind of a hiccup was really, really, really troublesome to me. Been 18 years in jail for second-degree murder, which means something happened back then. Get out for 20 months and then have this kind of a relapse. And I understand his position on that it all boiled down to disorderly conduct, domestic violence, but that's what the plea agreement was, that's what the plea agreement to expedite the situation and get it over with was, not what actually may have happened out there. And I have to have faith in the police officers that wrote the report that they had probable cause based on what they saw and heard to write the report that way. A 911 call with a woman screaming, get off of me, and then finding a woman crying and bleeding across the street saying that she'd been assaulted by Mr. Scott. I have to come to the conclusion that he was engaging in physically assaulting behavior, even if it was for a very, very short period of time. And I don't see him as a good candidate for return to community supervision at this time. But I'm going to listen to discussion from me and my fellow board members. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. I would just add that because this individual's been a victim of this assault, he would not be able to associate with her for the duration of his supervised parole.
Well, I think it's going to depend on the way the conviction was, but I think you're right, because disorderly conduct, DV, she's going to be listed. So it can be very difficult even after he's released on his regular end date. But that'll be up to him and the court and his lawyer to figure out. Thank you, ma'am.
I want to get in the legal argument that I'm not qualified for, but the allegation is physically assaulted behavior, and probation is for disorderly conduct, domestic violence, which in my opinion is physically assaulted behavior. So I can't see, if there was specific things that did or didn't happen during that incident, we still have a charge that was resulted in a conviction for disorderly conduct and domestic violence, which sounds like that sort of behavior. So I'm not in favor of community supervision. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Canales. Any other comment? Dr.
This was a very interesting one, but I don't, based on what I've heard and based upon what's been presented to the board, just my feeling as one board member that we don't have enough evidence to bring it back out into the community at this time.
Thank you.
Board member opinion.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so based on all the information, number 2018W1799, Mr. Scott's testimony, the information received from the Department of Corrections, I move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Scott as he was delinquent, violated term and condition of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Moved by myself, seconded by Mr. Canales, moved by Mr. Johnson, Rittenhouse. Okay, so the board has voted to revoke the community supervision at this time. We are scheduled, according to our paperwork, to be released on January 22nd, 2019. You won't have any more responsibility to mount to work Department of Corrections on these charges. And it sounds like Redlin was a misdemeanor, so there wouldn't be any issues with Department of Corrections. That would all be adult probation. But anyway, at that time, you'd be free to seek whatever kind of treatment you need. Also, whereby the board cannot require you to be placed anywhere, they cannot require that you have any kind of specific program in place. Okay. Only suggest things, and even then we can't recommend a treatment program. But get with your CO3 and work with them between now and the time of release. The issue about
yes,
your wife and her being a victim could be a very serious.
Not that she's already waived everything, so she's my wife, so, and they've already said I can go home to her as far as on probation.
All right, well, that's what I'm saying. That's an issue that
is
our adult probation, not probably the Department of Corrections, we won't be involved. But we do wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much. Board, you have yourself a good day, and thank you for giving me the opportunity.
All right, thank you, sir. And would you put the CO3 back up on you?
Well, that one sucked.
All right, here you go, sir. There's two more. So we have two more waves.
Okay, sir. We'll be two other than that wave, sir. Just
Campos. Campos Ramirez.
Okay, he's waved now. Okay.
And Valenzuela. Valenzuela and then Wagner.
Okay.
Wagner.
So we have two left, Ornos and Carr.
Okay, now did Wagner wave? You say he waved Wagner?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We need to double check, make sure it's not Henderson. We heard about it.
Yeah.
I got notification that Henderson waved.
Right, Henderson, Wagner, and Campos all waved.
Oh.
So I have left Ornos and Carr.
Okay. Okay, sir.
Here you go, here's Ornos.
We need to make a call on him.
Hello?
Hello. Would you hold on 1 minute? I believe that we're supposed to call you with the board office. Am I correct, Mr. Stewart?
Yes.
Okay, so just hold on 1 minute. Let me do my due diligence. Well, no, I'm going to get Mr. Johnson to do my due
diligence.
I've got to do it, but I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to get Mr. Johnson to do this for me.
This is a recent
light.
Ornos.
And you're going to read my phone right in this. 520-664-2979.
To go this one?
That you might want to participate in the hearing for Mr. O-R-O-S, well, I think that's the way it's spelled.
Mr. Oros, yes.
Okay, so if you hold on, we'll be back to you shortly. Okay, now, Mr. Johnson, we've got to get back to you. Just hold on, don't hang up on me.
Okay.
Hello, Mr. Oros?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we're ready to go and is going to conduct your hearing.